Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Wake up, kids. It's another edition of Early Call Time, live from Tarzana. We're not live. We're pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded.
But we got, whatever. It's live to us.
Yeah. We don't really cut this much.
Nope.
Not unless it's, you know, high government secrets that somebody doesn't want to be.
Which often people share with
leak.
Us. Yeah. That whole Benghazi thing, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
We're with an actor.
And a stand-in.
And his name is Tom, and he's here, and he's on our couch, and we're excited.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, like Andrew said, Tom is an actor and also a stand-in for the show Scorpion, which we both work on.
Yes, we do.
I'm an assistant editor, and Tom is a stand-in. And I had no idea that you had worked on the show until our friend Christian said, "Oh, do you know that Tom's working on Scorpion too?" I was like, "What?" And it was just kind of awesome because a lot of times production and post really don't mesh together.
And then there was the test, the green screen, kaboom.
Yeah,
you know.
In episode two, there is a big car crash at the end of the episode. And Tom actually stood in for Ari in the truck, and they rolled on it. I'm like, wait a minute. I think I know that guy.
I know that guy.
Yeah. So, it was kind of – it was pretty awesome.
Kind of weird. And then I got the text or the email saying, hey, did I just see you? I said, yeah.
Yeah. How did you get – job as a stand-in on Scorpion?
What is a stand-in exactly?
Well, stand-in, I kind of do triple duty on the show.
Okay.
I'm Ari Stidham, who plays Sylvester. Mm-hmm. I'm his stand-in, his photo double, and his stunt double.
Oh, really?
So I do...
Yeah. It's going to be pretty sweet.
It's going to be pretty sweet. Yeah, stay tuned. That's going to be good.
Interesting.
So I do all of that. So I work quite a bit.
Cool.
It just kind of, it's the luck of the draw, I think, as far as being a stand-in. I registered with Central Casting, which pretty much everyone, if you aren't and you want to get started in this business, that's the place really honestly to start. Mm-hmm. And especially if you haven't done anything in the past, this kind of gives you an opportunity to see how things work on a set.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a really good thing, because if you really want to go anywhere in this business, you need to know what to do. And that's a great place to start for it.
Now, when you say what to do, is it more like etiquette on set, or is it how director, I don't know.
It's everything. I mean, you learn everything from etiquette on set, which I think is huge, and everybody should know that, because you really only got one shot. You know, the big axiom is you're only as good as your last job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you screw it up, guess what? You're only as good as your last job.
Right.
So, it teaches you what to do on set, what not to do on set, how things work, too. Where you may be doing one scene that lasts 2 minutes, and that's, you know, a day or two of shooting.
Yeah.
So you've got all these different camera angles and all these different cuts, and there's flubs, and there's, you know, retakes and inserts, and so it's a lot.
Yeah.
So knowing that going in, I think, gives you a better shot. Because there are people who go on set who have absolutely no clue that it's going to take all day to do one scene.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this is ridiculous. I can't be here for the whole day. Well, that's pretty much the job. It's hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to start. It's a good way to get your feet wet, know what's going on, and kind of learn as you go. So highly recommend that.
Nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, you also are a producer and an actor.
I am.
You're a Renaissance man.
I am. You have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be. Yeah. If you want to work, you have to be.
Yeah. I mean, we worked on a couple pictures together.
We did.
Yes, you have.
We did.
And do you feel like that experience has helped you with what you're doing now?
It has. I actually started acting when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
And I was from, I'm from Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, kind of got my feet wet out there and got my toolbox, which basically I highly, highly recommend people do is have your tools in your toolbox ready to go so that when you move out here from Colorado or Iowa or Nebraska or wherever, you're not going, oh, okay, now what?
You know? Can cuss, it's fine.
Okay, good. Holy
what did I? Yeah. Now you don't mean a literal toolbox.
No, I mean your toolbox of your trade.
Okay.
And everybody should have that.
I want to have a guy show up to one of our sets one day. I was listening to your podcast and I brought my toolbox.
My toolbox, here's my hammer, here's my screwdriver.
Went to Sears.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And how's that gonna help you with your start doing commercials, start doing, getting into theater. Local theater is a great place to start if you have absolutely no experience. If you're in high school, this is exactly how I started. I started out in high school doing plays. Never thought I'd be, I was like this jock, you know, to play football. And, I love to do the performing end of it. And so I ended up joining and started doing plays, and that's where you learn your basics. And that's what I mean by your toolkit. Those are the basics that you bring with you. So, you know, instead of stage left, when you go on set, it's camera left, and everything's from the camera's point of view. Mm-hmm. So you learn all these little things, and you pick them up as you go along. But it's so competitive out here that if you don't have these tools in your toolbox, then you're not ready, and you need to work on getting those tools.
Yeah.
Get in and do commercials. Do anything you can that will get you on tape. You know, and that's the nice thing about what we've got going on now. You can do your own stuff, and that's perfectly fine. It's a great start. It shows people what you can do.
Yeah.
So that's a great place to
start. Do you recommend classes, acting classes? And do they have directing classes?
They have classes for everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to start teaching one. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right? So. Yeah. This is a stage. That's camera. And, okay, end of lesson one. Yeah.
I'll take your money now.
Yeah.
Well, you're in a good position because, like, you've worked a lot with our buddy Christian.
Yeah.
And so it's good for him as a director because he's kind of got an actor that he can work with and, you know, do a lot of stuff. And it's good for you because you're adding to your reel.
Absolutely. It's teamwork. It's all about kind of scratching each other's back and you know, really helping each other out. Right. And Christian is really, I mean, the stuff that he does is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that helps when you have people that know what they're doing. It will help your reel look better.
Right.
Which reminds me, I need to talk to you. We need to need to cut another reel.
Yeah, no problem.
So if you're here in Los Angeles, get in with the schools. Get in with LA Film School. Get in with, you know, the New York Film Academy.
Yeah.
Let them know. I mean, take them a headshot. You know, if you're to that point in your career, take them a headshot. Let them know you're available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, audition like crazy. Go on all the sites, you know, Actors Access, LA Casting. Do everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually things will start popping for you.
Yeah.
We don't have a ton of actors on, but this brings a question to mind that's very important because I did a very tiny bit of acting and I was like, nope. I'm done.
Not for me.
But headshots are a very big deal.
Crucial.
And what would you say to aspiring actors when it comes to that? Because there's so many different routes, and you could spend $50 or you could spend $5,000, and it's like.
And I have gone to both spectrums on that. You know, I had wonderful photographer. She lives up in Hollywood, and she does great work. And it was like $200.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, nothing.
Right.
Then I went to a very well-known photographer for my last headshots. Oh, and by the way, I got a lot of work off of her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. Went to a very well-known photographer. Won't say who he is or she is. But this person, you know, the headshots haven't worked for me.
Yeah.
So, and it was, you know, it was quite a bit. It was up there.
Now,
you can spend $200 to $600 for you know, an hour.
Is it the photographer that like when you say it doesn't work, or doesn't that those headshots didn't work for you?
Yeah, they have to sell you. They have to be a good representation of you. And that's key because a lot of people go, oh, those are excellent headshots.
Right.
But they don't look anything like you.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't look like you and you get in the room, the casting director is going to go, who is this person on this picture? Because it sure isn't you.
Yeah.
And that's who we wanted to get, was this person that you sent the picture of. So make sure that they really do look like you and bring out what, you know, the character that you portray.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
By the way, if you're like me, you know, character actor, I'm a character actor. There is no doubt about it. I am not leading man material here. But if you're a character actor, don't go for the hot Rico Suave look, yeah. because it's not going to get you work.
Right.
You know, the last thing you want to do is freak out a casting director who will never bring you back, by the way.
Yeah.
You're only good as your last job. In this case, right. you're only as good as what you represent yourself to be.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, which brings up a good point, too, as far as resumes. Don't lie. This is a very small town. People tend to lie quite a bit. You know, I was a guest star on Big Bang Theory, had 17 lines. Pretty easy to check out.
That's very true.
Once you're out there as not being truthful, that will come back to bite you, believe it or not.
Yeah.
As big as this city is, it's extremely tiny.
It is very, yeah, especially in post.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's interesting, when we were casting for Heart, the film that JJ and I did, you know, on breakdown services and things like that, you know, you go through and, you know, you check, like, I can ride horses and I can play billiards and I can skydive. And it's like there are a thousand different boxes. Yeah. And it's like you just check everything and you're like, if it comes up, I'll figure it out. And some of that stuff, you probably can't just figure it out.
Probably not a good idea. If you need to be racing horses, you better have done more than just seen one in a book. Yeah. You know? You need to be able to ride, because they will do that. There's been people who have put down precision driving. Mm-hmm. And they show up to set on big stuff, and they don't know even what precision driving is.
I don't have a clue what that is.
It's you know, the guys that are zipping along, and they cop cars,
right?
They'll,
right.
They'll fly in and they'll stop right about, you know, six yeah. inches before yeah. the curb. That's considered precision.
You know,
driving.
You know what's really funny? I was fortunate enough to actually come down and go to a production meeting. For the show.
Yeah.
And they were talking about stunt drivers and how, okay, well, we want to have four cars on the scene, but we're only going to have one stunt driver.
Right.
So what they'll do is they'll have the stunt driver come in really fast. He'll be the first one on, and they'll have the other guys just kind of gingerly drive behind him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it looks like they're coming in fast, but really it's just one dude.
Well, that's what we did on Stitchers. I know when we were shooting the pilot, we're shooting, LA for New York. And we had a bunch of taxis that they rented, and there's a scene where our characters just dart across the street like you do, and they had stunt drivers driving the taxis that were going to be right near them. I mean, it's not like a thing where they get really close and the taxi honks at them.
Right.
It was just a more of a safety thing, I assume.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just interesting. It's like there wasn't really any highly specialized skill that you could tell.
Right.
But the actors lived.
So. Well, and you know, you do.
Well, that's good. That's the important part.
Yeah, actors living kind of help. Unless you're trying to get the job, then it's.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to have, especially when you have like a big production mm-hmm. like, you know, we've got going on with Scorpion. It's, you know, you get some extra in there who thinks he's, you know,
You can tell. Well, if there are extras or actors that want to be extras or vice versa, don't be big in the background.
Right.
We will cut away from you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just be your normal
self.
Yeah.
Do what they tell you.
There is an episode that's coming up. It's the same episode that we were kind of laughing about earlier that you have a kind of a big moment in.
Yeah.
There's an extra that is huge. And it's the editor's like, you want to see somebody? He goes, who do you think reacted the most to this particular stunt? And I was like, Catherine? No. Elias? No. The extra. So
right.
So you know, we cut away. But anyway, it's just
show up the actors.
It's just really funny on how that happens. They want to be noticed.
You know, and the thing is, too, background, there's a reason why it's called background.
Right.
Right.
And you really do want to blend in. And you don't want to do the big fakey, you know, oh my, look at this plate of spaghetti. This sure looks good. You know, just be yourself because yeah. you'll get more work that way. Because I guarantee you, especially on a TV show, a lot, I've worked a lot of them and you see the same faces.
Yep.
Yeah.
Coming in. There's a reason for that because they're good.
Yeah.
If you want to work, if you want to get recognized by producers, by the people who are doing stuff, don't try to be big. I know that sounds weird, but it's so true. JJ,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, very much.
Because you will end up on the cutting yeah. room floor.
Yeah, especially, yeah, you know, we want to cut for performance.
Right.
But if the performance is good, but something is drawing us away from it, we're going to cut it and we're going to go with something else. Right. So, you know.
I know that there are probably people listening who think, oh, you can be an extra and that'll never lead to anything. It'll just be in the background forever. But
contrary.
If you, one example that I love to share is Gunther on Friends,
right.
who was an extra, and they asked if any of the extras knew how to operate an espresso machine. And he was like, I know how, because yeah. he was a barista for like 8 years. And he became Gunther on Friends.
That's exactly right.
So, really? Yep.
There's a new show out right now that's doing the same thing. And I wish I could remember the name of it. One of our regular background people mm-hmm. Works on that show as background. Mm-hmm. And they're actually starting to incorporate them more into the show. Can't tell you the name of the show, but it's got a big, big name.
Like a long name?
Like a short
like a really
name of
letters?
Like a kind of rock, but I won't say any more than that. Anyway, but so they're taking these background people and they're saying, okay, play with them, you know, but if they come to you once, just kind of blow it off. If they come to you more than once, then that's, they're giving you the opportunity to play with them.
Yeah.
So you never know where to lead. Same thing on, I worked on the ground floor. It was the same kind of deal there too. You know, there were some background people there that got really good featured stuff and they recognize you and they'll bring you back.
When you think about shows that take place in like an office setting or something where mm-hmm. you need, you know, not that most people should be paying attention to that, but
right.
you want to have kind of the same people sitting
Absolutely.
At the desks in the background and it can turn into something.
And I think that that happened on The Office too, didn't it?
It seems like, yeah, I don't know how much of it was intentional, but
yeah.
it, you know.
But one of them came from being background up to, and
right.
I don't remember who it was now. Anyway, but yeah. it does happen. I mean, being a background, again, that's kind of like your first step out here. And, you know, you do what you can to get more and more and more work. And you meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon that turns into something bigger. Same thing like, you know, with anything you do. You know, if you're around it enough, people will bring you into the fold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, on a normal day at Scorpion,
mm-hmm.
tell us how do you get there? Do you
get out
there,
of my head because I was just
do you get there
the
early? Do you, are they usually early call times? Huh? See what I did there?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally, it kind of depends on the director. Now we have two. Well, how do I say it? It's not really two teams, but we have, you know, our directors are different for each show. And mm-hmm. then we have, you know, Bobby Labonge, mm-hmm. great cinematographer.
Yeah. Wonderful man.
Kenny Glassing. So
yep.
those are our
I
two
like
teams.
Both.
Yeah, they're great.
Kenny's stuff is so colorful.
Isn't it?
It's
you guys
great.
Have two DPs?
Mm-hmm. We have two DPs.
Got it.
They work, we run on a 9-day cycle. So one episode takes us 9 days to shoot.
Oh, really?
And so then
Lucky
the next
you.
Day while they're, yeah. So while they're prepping
yeah.
for the next show, this one's shooting.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
when they start shooting, then the other one starts prepping. So
right. I'd like to say, I said that Kenny's stuff is really colorful. Bobby's stuff is good too.
Bobby is a master. So, if you guys yeah. get a chance, go look Bobby Labonge up on IMDb. And you'll see. I mean, the guy did like Three Amigos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. When he first got yeah. started, you know, he did some Star Wars, one of the Star Wars.
Do you think Bobby would want to be on our show?
Bobby.
Let's call him
I
right now.
I could talk to Bobby.
Get Tom out of here.
And bring Bobby in. Actually, I think Bobby probably would.
That would be great.
If you need, we'll talk.
I've got his number. I just haven't called him.
Oh, okay.
Him,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
Do you want me to call him?
Sure.
He doesn't know who I am.
Sure.
So.
Bobby LeBonge.
Calling on behalf of JJ and Tom.
Yeah.
But we were talking about having the two teams.
Right.
And So currently, well, I don't know who's working right now. I can't remember. I think it's Kenny. I think Kenny's working.
Yeah, Kenny is working on the one we're shooting right now.
Yeah.
And let's see. So
you come in on regular day?
Yeah, we come in. We work usually Monday through Friday. Every now and then, of course, it hasn't happened for a long time. We'll pull a Saturday.
Yep.
But we usually get there depending on the call. Sometimes the crew call is 6:30. But as you know, an actor, you have or stand in, you have different call times.
And right.
You do it different times.
Right.
So, we shoot a 12-hour day. And there's lunch there, mm-hmm. and yeah. Can't beat the lunches.
Talk about lunch.
Talking about lunches.
So how? I mean, you get there earlier than the actors.
Actually, they get there earlier than we do.
Oh, for makeup?
Because they have to go through the works, which there's a little term for you. The works is makeup and hair, for those of you who don't know.
Right.
So they have to go through the works and get ready, and then you know you pretty much get there and go, okay, I'm ready. No, you don't have to do much. Unless you're stunts, and you got to go through the whole thing.
That's true.
Too.
So. Do you, you go in there first and set up lighting and blocking?
Yeah,
and
usually what they do is the director will go in with the actors. They'll have what they call a private rehearsal, and they'll kind of map it all out. Then they'll send out first team. Which are all the actors, Elias and Catherine and Ari. Mm-hmm. Send them all out, and then we'll go in, and then they'll adjust the lighting. They'll move us. They'll, you know, a lot of times, depending on, they kind of look, when you're a stand-in, there's several ways it can go. There's some places where literally you go in, you stand in, and then they say, okay, great, bring in first team. Let's go, ringy-dingy, boom. Hmm. That's it. We've gotten to have we're really lucky on this show because we have such a really close relationship with our actors that, we're able to let them know framing. And they want to know all that stuff from us. Okay. Where do I stand? What's my framing? Which camera's on me? Cause we have a 3-camera, setup. Mm-hmm. So they'll want to know, you know, all of these things. So we have to be ready for that. Also, at any given time, and it's happened multiple times, the director or the DP will say, okay, let's get a second team rehearsal. So we have to know those lines too.
Yeah.
Or at least a good portion of those lines.
Interesting.
Well, I guess from like the movement on what lines we need to go over.
Right.
After this line we got to go across the room.
Because, you know, they rack their camera.
And
we use that all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So they want to see all that before they bring the first team back in.
Right.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
That's very cool.
And it's one of those things where it's rarely done, mm-hmm. but that's been a huge help to the DP especially, mm-hmm. So that they can literally have a run before they even go into it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just boom, boom, boom. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, you know, if you think you're going to be a stand-in and just stand there and literally stand in, a lot of times.
And do you take notes sometimes?
Absolutely.
So you remember what to tell Ari?
I have to know where to cross, which lines to cross on. So, because camera has to be ready.
Yeah.
So if he did a cross on this line, I'll mark it on my sides, mm-hmm. and then I'll make sure that the DP knows or the camera operators know. Okay, yeah, he crossed on this line over to his third mark or second mark or whatever.
Right.
So. Yeah,
so are you for the lack of a better term, are you standing by while they're shooting the scene?
Yeah.
I mean, are you?
Yeah.
You don't get the chance to really wander very far.
No, well, not really. I mean, we usually like to stay there for the first. They'll bring the first team back in. They'll run a quick rehearsal with them. We like to stay there for the rehearsal and the first take. Then we just kind of go back, hang out in our chairs or, you know.
Gotcha.
Go have that elusive donated craft services. Mm.
And what's the Nutella situation on your set? I'm curious.
The Nutella?
Nutella?
Oh,
do you have Nutella?
Yeah, we do have Nutella.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, we might have to plan a visit.
Nutella's good. I actually put it on English muffins.
I put it on everything.
Like a chocolate donut.
Oh, yeah. Ice cream, asparagus. I don't care.
Asparagus. Okay, I haven't tried that one.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah, now, Nutella. You also work with the the infamous and famous Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick.
We watched a few movies with him yesterday.
Oh my gosh, yep. Funny enough, great.
I had no idea that he's in so many movies.
Yeah.
Neither did I, and I'd yeah. seen him and stuff.
And he can play pretty much every character.
He does. The guy is a chameleon. It's so funny. I was watching a movie the other day. It happens to be my wife's favorite movie, and Identity Theft.
That's what we watched yesterday.
I did not know he was on
Neither
that.
Neither did I, and I'd seen it like six times, and I was like, wait a second.
Well, I've seen it six, seven times at least. My wife's probably seen it 600 times. So, I'm just kind of doing my thing. I'm writing, and all of a sudden I hear this familiar voice saying, what you call a skip tracer? I went, that's Robert Patrick.
What's he doing in our living room?
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's done everything. Yeah. And what a great guy.
Yeah.
He is, we really do feel lucky and blessed to be with these guys, because I got to tell you, this cast is phenomenal. Robert Patrick's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time I met him, I was so intimidated by him. But the funniest, nicest, warmest, most sincere guy, great.
I was on set not too long ago, and I ran into you and Paul, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul, yeah.
Which was funny. I knew
right,
him.
Right.
And Tom's like, I gotta introduce you to Paul. He's Elias' stand-in. And I go, he's walking towards me. I'm like, I know you. Yeah. And we had played poker before.
Yeah.
Small world.
Very small world.
So yes. Be careful out there.
but when I was on set, I saw Robert and he's sitting in his chair, and I see him, and he sees me, and I walk by. I'm like, oh man, I can't say a thing to him.
Right.
He'll kill me.
Yeah. He gives off that vibe.
Yeah, he does. But he's such a great actor.
He is.
A lot of the stuff that we get every day, it's just so cool to watch footage with him.
Right. He's great.
Yeah.
But, he's a chameleon, but he's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's there to work.
He is there to work.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he's a driving force, one of the driving forces of that, whole group. So
would you say he's kind of like a mentor to everybody there?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. We all just love the guy and look up to him. And yeah, he's a great guy.
He's also someone I would love to have.
I was
going to
say,
couch.
When is he coming over?
That would be awesome.
You know,
I don't know.
Robert's very approachable.
I don't know if I would get. I'd be like,
but he's busy.
Robert.
He's doing a lot.
Oh yeah,
I'm busy. I gotta do laundry after this. And we got ribs in the slow cooker.
Whoa, but great dinner.
I'll make time for him.
Yeah. I'll have to make a list of questions I need to ask him previous to the interview.
I'm not as familiar with a lot of his work as you are, so.
Oh.
For me, it'll just be like, so Terminator you're, Terminator what is it too, that yeah. you do? Are you a grip?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that door would come flying off that hinge right now. It's my Robert Patrick impression.
So. That's good. That's good. It's intimidating.
So you said, you also mentioned photo double and stunt.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff does that entail?
Photo double's pretty much, there's sometimes that we overlap days,
mm-hmm.
Or the actor can't be available. And I look enough like Ari that I can go in and be his double. So sometimes when Ari's not there on the screen, it'll be like for instance, we did the one where we were in Vegas.
Yes.
All that stuff with the hands, Ari's betting, that's all me.
Oh, okay.
Because Ari was up on the rooftop shooting the next episode.
Right.
Oh, and so it was Tardino was.
So like on inserts and stuff, do you do normally? You are his photo stand-in for inserts. Okay.
Yeah, photo double.
Yeah.
And then what about stunt stuff? What's
stunts? I love doing the stunts.
There's going to be one. Oh, man.
Yeah, there's a good stunt coming up. And it's probably the coolest and also the...
it airs next week.
It does.
Yeah.
Does it air? Will it have aired by the time?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it airs. It actually airs next week. If you're listening to this now, it airs this coming Monday at 9 p.m. on CBS.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
9 p.m., 8 o'clock Central.
We timed this
CBS.
Perfectly, actually.
Yeah. Right after right before the weather. I don't know. Depends on what city you're in.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
That was a good one. And it was, harnesses and hooks and...
Yeah.
Pulleys.
So, do you have stunt background or experience?
You know,
or
I guess.
They were just kind of like, oh, if we kill him, whatever.
Yeah, he's gone. That's okay. We'll just get another stand-in.
Go for it.
So actually, it was funny how that came about. I had done some stunts when I was younger, and I spent a summer with a group called the Stunt Bunch. At the time, this was many moons ago. they had this place up in California, Northern California, and it was kind of like an elongated workshop. It was a long puppy, almost like a month long. So I got to learn how to do a lot of that stuff, stage hitting and all that.
Cool.
But nothing major, nothing big like the one coming up.
Yeah.
And so I knew the basics, which, by the way, if you want, there's another tool for your toolbox. Anything you can learn, do it.
Yeah.
Because it's stuff that they go, you know, gosh, yeah, you know, you. And again, this is how it happened. We were shooting the episode 2. And Jim Vickers, stunt coordinator, mm-hmm. who's done a ton of work. Again, go look him up on IMDb. The guy's got massive credits. I was kind of standing by him, and he started talking to me thinking I was Ari. Huh. And he went, wait a minute. You're not Ari. I said, no. No, I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. He goes, wow. He goes, you really need to be doubling for him. And I said, well, I'm photo doubling for him now, yeah. And he goes, no. Stunt doubling. Have you ever thought about stunts? I said, well, you know, I did some stuff a long time ago. Please tell me you're SAG. I said, yes, I am. He said, great, you're going to do these. I said, wow. Awesome. So, you know, and we really, I think we look quite a bit alike, especially, don't you? When you see the footage?
Yes.
Can you give me an example then of something that has aired that, you know, or has there been anything that's
not a
huge? I'm trying to think. There's the one where I was running to get in the car. There was another one.
Because I know people think of stunts and they're like, oh, somebody falling off of a building. But it can be really simple, like
driving a car.
Driving a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of depends what the actor can do, what the actor's willing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and if, you know, actors have any kind of a physical, you know, if the knee goes out or something and they can't do it, well, then, you know, you're up in the batter box, so you're ready to go.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I remember hearing a story about an actor who had to jump off like a small ledge onto a, you know, a sidewalk. Right. I mean, really like a couple of feet.
Absolutely.
And they were like, we need a stunt person to do it. And they're like, no, and the actor did it and like twisted her ankle and there you go. Your day's shot.
And absolutely. And possibly thousands of dollars down the tubes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. But yeah, so you just kind of fall into that stuff. And the more you can do, the more they'll call you to do.
Right.
Do you think you're impossible to kill? I mean, how?
No.
How bad would it have to get?
No, I think I'd be probably pretty easy to kill.
Oh, okay.
it's great. I love doing him, and I bug Jim all the time to find out if there's more stuff.
Yeah.
I'm bugging the writers now too.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, I wouldn't have done this months ago when we first started this, you know, I would never would have approached the writers and talked to them and Don Tardino, our producer and stuff, but we've all gotten so close, which again is something to remember as background. Yeah. There's times you get those background days, and they're probably 90% of those times where you're just doing background, and you come in, you do your thing, you eat lunch, you go home, whatever, you know. But there, any time you get a chance to do any stand-in work, and that especially on a big show like this, do it. I've got a really good friend of mine who's kicking himself right now because he had the opportunity to be a stand-in on Scorpion. He said, "Yeah, you know, I don't know if I really want to take that much time out of my work. You know, I'm going on auditions. I don't know."
Yeah. Then it turns out to be the number one show on Monday nights.
Exactly. And guess what? Now he's going, crap. Yeah. Damn it. I should have done it. And, you know, so don't turn it down. If it comes your way, you know, go with it.
Well, so you never know who you're going to meet.
Well, that's right. Very true. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And again, work begets work. So it's something that I've even had to weigh out because it's like, okay, you know, I didn't get in this to be a stand-in. I got in it to be an actor. So, you know, I kind of want to do it. Well, I don't know where this opportunity is going to go, but so far it's been really good. So you kind of got to weigh it. Am I getting paid to go to auditions? No, but I'm getting paid to go to work every day on a set where I'm meeting literally you know, hundreds of people, you know, who work on other jobs and who can say, hey, you know, we use this guy. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows? You know, I mean, I think I look too much like Ari to do any kind of role on there unless it's like, Ari has a twin brother who's in trouble. Team Scorpion must save him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's true.
But, get the writers on the phone.
Yeah. But a lot of these guys have had the opportunity. Diana, who is Happy's stand-in, has done some. She was the waitress in the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they
said, that's funny. I cut that scene.
Yeah. So they said, you know, hey, Diana, do you want to get a step up and do this waitress? She's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it can lead to other things. So
well, and you're already there. It's not like they have to go through the, you know, it's a huge process of casting and calling people in and going through all the resumes. And it's like,
right.
You're standing right in front of me.
Right.
Exactly. You can do the job.
And it was a quick deal, but it got a lot of airtime, and it's also in the promos, and it's also in a couple other things too that I saw. Yeah. So, you know, if the right person's looking going, wow, cause she's very pretty, you know, the right person's looking going, that is a great look. I really want to cast her.
Right.
Or I really want her to audition for me.
So if there's somebody that's standing out there and they're like, well, I look really similar to so-and-so, what's, you know, is that the kind of thing that you go into central casting and you say, I look a lot like Brad Pitt. What do you think?
Yeah,
like,
you can do that. I mean, and I would definitely do that. And I would also maybe hit up their agent and their manager and say, hey, you know, I know that Brad's probably got another stand-in, but, you know, in case they're not
available,
you know, available I've got, you know, I'm the same sizes, I've got the same look, I'm the same height, so, you know, let me know, you know.
Did Central Casting come to you and they said that this is what we need and you've got the look for it?
Yep, I've worked with Alex on some other things, and I guess he must have remembered me and said, hey, you know, I need you to go down there and see if you're fit for this new show called Scorpion to do stand-in work. I was like, sure, you got it.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and voila!
Yeah.
Viola!
Yeah.
So,
So this podcast is not only entertaining, but educational, Tom.
Right.
Do you have any advice you can give to anyone out there? I know we've kind of been peppering through advice, but somebody that just got to LA, wants to be an actor.
Right.
What would be the first thing that you tell them to do?
I want to answer that, but I want to take a step backwards with that and say, get as much as you can before you get here. Believe it or not, it's a lot easier to get work where, you know, in another state, where you can do some commercials and all of that. Get as much in your toolbox as you can. And then make the move when you have gotten to a point where you're ready to do it. Then I would just say, hit everything you can. Be careful, because there's a lot of shady people out there, but there's also some very good people out there. Guys or girls, be very careful on Craigslist or something where they say, we need, you know, some actress to play a part. Come and, come to my house.
Right.
You know, but
that worked once for us.
And that was it. Did you know Craigslist can ban you forever? It happened.
I know. I turned you guys in when you did that to me. So.
We're going to let you go as soon as we're done.
Yeah. So, but then I would just say, you know, really hit everything. Actors Access, LA Casting,
Are those all websites? I'm not.
They're all websites. They're all casting websites. And, you know, there's some people out there that say, oh, well, you know, it's just the smaller stuff. You know, I want to be on 2.5 Men. Well, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's great if you can do that. But again, you're meeting casting directors, you're meeting people, and all of these people are making big, you know, bigger moves up the ladder, just like you are.
Right.
So whoever you're working for today may be, you know, someone big who's casting the next, you know, 2.5 Men or whatever, you know, 6 years down the road.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was starting doing acting, I'm from Seattle, and the agent that I had there, I don't know how much people that are not in LA know about the casting director. I mean, they're thinking like, well, you got to get on the radar of this director or this actor or producer or whatever, but it's like, the casting directors are these people that are, out there every day meeting the actors, and they're the ones that are going to say, you know, we got to bring this person in. They're perfect for the role.
Right.
And so, as you said, you know, you impress the casting director. Like, that's, from what I've seen, that's the person you really need to.
Right. You know. Absolutely. Go on as many auditions as you can.
Yeah.
Because look at it this way. A lot of people look at it the wrong way. They're looking at it to get a job. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds kind of weird. Going to an audition to not get the job? What are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
Go there. If a lot of people, myself included, when I first started out, I was nervous as hell. Mm-hmm. And I would always sit there and go into the audition and just walk out going, "Ah, oh, I did this all wrong. I was going to do the thing with the thing and I just, oh." And you beat yourself up and you beat yourself up. If you go in there with the mindset that you're just going in there to show them what you can do, that takes a lot of that stress off of you and your performance will be better. And a lot of times casting, and I've had this happen to me, a casting director would say, "Wow, that was an excellent read. I got to tell you," I mean, this is rare, by the way, that they do this, but she said, "I got to tell you, you know, you just don't fit exactly what you're looking for, but I want you to know, I don't want you to be discouraged because it was a good read and I want to bring you back."
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
Yeah.
And it was like a year later, but she remembered me.
Right.
So maybe if you're going in for one job, you may not get it, but there's chance of, you know, that you might be getting something down the road.
So as far as auditions go, would you say it's like 40 to 1, 25 to 1, as far as how many,
billion man, to one.
How many auditions you go through?
It varies. I've gotten to a point where I just go and I do it now and I leave it on the floor when I walk out.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
I drop the microphone.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of how I am with interviews.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to, because if you beat yourself up and you destroy yourself, you're going to lose your confidence in the future. And it's like, but I was really good and I really, 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 sure. really wanted that. You can't do that. You've
right.
got to go in, do the best job that you can. Leave it on the floor and say, "Okay, on to the next one."
Sure.
Yeah.
And well, why I asked about the numbers is because some people think that they're just going to come out and they're like, "All right, cool, got a gig," you know, immediately.
No. That's what happens. Some lead actress
some
on
people,
Stitcher.
Yeah. Some people are stupid.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it doesn't happen.
You know, it's all happens. It's a numbers game.
Right.
It really is.
Right.
It's just like dating. You know, it just takes one.
That's and, true. That's very true.
Just takes one to ruin your entire life.
That's true.
As with film, you know, I've got some to prove that. but no. I don't know if I'd put a number on it. I mean, there's some – I've nailed three back-to-back, and then I've gone 6 months doing, you know, one audition every week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, you know, two auditions every day. And like you said, it's just a big numbers game. The big thing is to push that out of your head and to just focus on your performance.
Right.
Your
craft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And be the best – do the best that you can, because quite honestly, that's all you've got. You know, you've got your talent and you may think you're good for the role and you may not be, but that's okay. You may think you sucked in that audition and they call you and hire you, which has happened to me a lot.
Really?
I've gone out, I've walked out of an audition going, "Well, I screwed that one up, on to the next one."
Hmm.
And I get a call saying, "Dude, we loved you. Can you come back? We want to see you in a call back." And I'm like, "Well, you do know you, do you, me?" You know, okay.
I'm Tom.
sure, you know. But the big thing is all you have is your talent at the end of the day. And you can only go in there and do your best. And if you do your best, you know, that's it.
It's the Boy Scout way.
Yeah.
It is best. The Boy Scout way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your best and learn a Slipknot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe knit a little
Knitting is good. You can always put that down for your
other
stuff.
Yeah, you can.
When my mother was here for Thanksgiving, she taught me how to knit.
All right.
We had a knitting party.
Knit one, purl two, right? Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Pearl.
Yeah, look at that. I learned it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a background person. I got to learn it. And I ride a horse, so if any producers are out there.
Well, Tom, thanks for coming.
Hey, you bet.
It was really fun.
You know, hopefully it'll give some people some info.
Yeah. I
don't know if anyone listens to our show, but it's fun for...
I like hanging out and talking.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
It's like chilling.
If people were to Can people contact you?
Absolutely.
For advice, maybe?
Yeah.
Do you have a Twitter account?
Or I do have a Twitter account, but I'm trying to remember what it is. But yeah, you can look me up on Facebook. Send me a message on Facebook.
Right on.
You know, honestly, even if you want to drop me an email, that's cool too. I'm totally fine with that. So here's the email address.
Get
your pencils.
Ooh.
Here's a little bit of chance.
Tom@hollywood.com.
Yeah. No, that'd be...
Tom in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's close. Okay, this is when I was in Colorado.
All right.
Oh, nice.
So it's C-O.
All right, makes sense.
All right.
All one word, C-O, movie man.
All right.
At Hotmail.
Another Hotmail user.
Yes.
I got the Hotmail.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, honestly, I really do believe in paying it forward and giving back. So I've been really lucky to have an opportunity to do as much as I've been able to do. So anytime, if you have any questions, feel free to drop me a line, say, hey, yeah, you know, I heard you on the podcast and I just wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah. And CC us as well. earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then we can read your whole creepy exchange.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again. And you guys, look forward to next week.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, whatever it is.
Huge.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, baby.
Next week's show. Epic.
It's going to be big. So keep watching. Scorpion.
Yeah.
Monday nights.
Tune in.
9 p.m. on CBS.
Right.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.